Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand, if you will. Bow our heads in prayer. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we know we say it so many times, but Lord, we deem it a great privilege, Lord, and a great honor. Lord, to be able to gather, Lord, with like precious saints. Lord, to glorify your precious name this morning, Lord, to hear thy word. Lord, it's such a privilege, Lord, to live for you in this day and age. Lord, to be a light unto the world, Lord, that Jesus lives. Lord, we just ask you to have your preeminence in this service this morning. Everything that's said and done, Lord, be only for your glory and your honor. We'll give you all the glory and praise now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to turn to page 196 in our Only Believe. When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sins, I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when he said, "Wilt thou be clean?" I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.
Amen.
He has cleansed my heart from sin. Amen. Oh, I will praise Him. So wonderful.
Yes, he is.
Amen. To fill us, Holy Spirit. Amen. What a fortunate people we really are. Blessed people. Amen. I'd like to turn to page 6 in the same book. Amen. There is a name I love to hear. I
373, same book. I love this little course. Amen.
Once my free to walk. shepherd, but the sinking shepherd fell. Hallelujah. Led me to my Father's throne. Oh, singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Blessed be His holy name. Morning, Lord, with all praise and glory, Lord, with such thanksgiving in our heart for you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we long to praise you, Lord, each and every day. Lord, for what you bless us with. Amen. A holy desire to gather and praise his name. Amen. From the bottom of our hearts, we lift praise unto him. Oh, how wonderful he is. Hallelujah. How blessed you ought to be and feel, if you can feel him in your heart. Amen. Feel that praise ringing every day. Amen. Yes, amen. So many people in this day and age don't have that. Amen. But you ought to show a blessing. Yes. Show a praise unto him. Amen. Let everybody see how much you really appreciate it. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Paul, would you mind taking it to y'all? Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we deem it a great privilege, Lord, to come before you with our needs this morning. Lord, as we live in this life, Lord, there's many things that arise in this life and needs. Lord, it's your privilege, Lord, it's your honor, Lord, to meet our needs. Lord, you want to bless us, Lord, with your word. And Lord, that's the greatest need in our life, Lord, at this time, in this day and age. Lord, we long, Lord, to come hear thy word, Lord, with a praise in our hearts. Lord, our hearts going out to you, Lord, in love and unity. Lord, for what you've done for us, Lord. Lord, as we stand here today, Lord, we know that many people have a need, Lord, whether they raised their hands or whether they was able to be here or not. Lord, you know down inside each and every heart, Lord, of your little elect all around the world this morning. Lord, we ask you to bless each and every heart. each and every need according to your perfect will. Lord, we know that our sister Marilyn, our brother Bobby, Lord, their families, Lord, are going through a lot right now, Lord. And Lord, I'm sure there's those that are also going through it, Lord, we don't know much about. But Lord, you know everything about us, Lord. Lord, you feel our pain. You feel our needs, Lord. And you are willing, Lord, to reach down and take care of them, Lord. If we would just reach out to you, Lord, with all our hearts, Lord, and hand everything and every situation into your hands, Lord. That's the only way, Lord, we can take another step forward, knowing everything's going to be okay. Is, Lord, that you dwell within us. Lord, your peace, Lord, that passes all understanding. Lord, is with us each and every day. Lord, we just yield every one and everything into your hands at this time, Lord, knowing that you would take care of it. Lord, if we have faith in you, Lord, we just appreciate the opportunity, Lord, once more together. Lord, I really mean that with all my heart. Lord, what a privilege it is to gather around your word, Lord. Lord, if we have a desire burning in our hearts to be here this day, Lord, to hear thy word, what a blessed people we really are. Lord, just help us, Lord, to not only listen, but Lord, let it be a, Lord, bless it to our lives each and every day. That it may live to show each and every person that walks by that you are alive today. Lord, and you're living within these vessels. Lord, that's the greatest blessing we could ever have, Lord, is to show the people, Jesus and me. Lord, we just ask you to have the way in the remainder of the service. Lord, we ask you to get all the glory and the honor, Lord, that's due unto you. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Does anyone have a special this morning on their heart? We ask the sisters to come if they will.
If this world could only see what's taking place in you and me, there's been an invisible union. The world lives in reality, but the church is all that. Body work. I was made for this word. This word fits me. I believe.
Amen. I receive from His precious word. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. As we ask our precious brother to come, when we sing that little chorus, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. Are you reaching out to him this morning? Amen.
I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. As I pray, press my way into your kingdom true. I grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you. Oh, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know too short, and you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you.
Amen. Just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Lord, we truly come each and every time reaching out to you, asking you, Lord, to impart to our hearts a nugget, Lord, of a quote, something, Lord, that would help us to grow, and Lord, to draw us closer to you, and Lord, to make us more like you as we travel this life. And Lord, we just humbly ask that you take these few words you've laid upon my heart for this morning, and Lord, as we rehearse your word and look back to what you said and what you've left for us, Lord, may it just some way strengthen us, Lord, or strike our hearts to cause us to draw a little closer to you. And Lord, and help us to just yield ourselves unto thee. And Lord, let us yield our hearts to you, Lord, that we would be able to take something from your precious word. And we ask it all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask these things. Amen. Oh, don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. If you would, turn me down just a little bit. Amen. A little echo. Amen. While you're still standing, if you'd like to turn your Bibles with me this morning over to John, the 14th chapter, we'll read a scripture and then you can be seated. I appreciate our pastor giving me the opportunity this morning, but I'd much rather had him up here. Amen. But, you know, we give a few roses while you're finding your scripture, but we ought to be thankful. You know, it's a to have a pastor that works a full-time job and still ministers three times a week for us, sometimes, you know, that's not easy. And we should be thankful that he's dedicated himself and gives of himself freely that we could then take a part of God's precious word. Not that that's what God, the gift God gave him and God sent him for, but nevertheless, we thank God that there's men that'll do that for us. Amen. That each time we gather, there's fresh food on the table. Amen. But here in John, the 14th chapter, in a very familiar scripture, the 26th verse, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." May the Lord add the blessings of evening's word. You may be seated. Amen. It was meditating and praying, and a little thought has come up on my heart, and just praying that I can present it to you in a way that it'll catch our attention and maybe make us pay a little closer attention. But I'm going to be turning over to Luke, the 18th chapter, if you want to go ahead and turn over there. But to pull a little text from a situation here that happened. And oh my, how we, as we look at God's precious word, and you know, as you look at the many things our prophet brought, and us being gathered here this morning for service, the many wonderful topics that we could get up here and speak about. And all of the things, how God, through Brother Branham in this last age, broke those things down and showed us how we was a part of Christ, even as the sisters sang the song, where we came from God and where we've been and where we're going to. But nevertheless, when Jesus was here on earth, his whole purpose was to be about his Father's business. And every day that was his main goal and focus in life. And you know, as we see that we're here, I pray that each day that becomes more our focus. Is that this life and this the way we live and what we do will become strangely dim, and we will truly focus in that, yes, I'm a human being. And yes, I live on this country, in this country called the United States. But I was sent here from heaven to be a delegate, to be a body, to just house. This whole fleshly coat is just housing the real me that was sent here to be a witness for Jesus Christ in this day and in this time, that he could prove through a people that he would have the preeminence of a body of people. We've heard all of these things. We know these things. Our pastor's been bringing these things back to our remembrance and reading us what the prophet said and telling us and showing us. And we sit here under the anointing of the Holy Spirit listening. But I want you to think here in the 18th chapter. Now we realize this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And his disciples at this point had probably been traveling with him for about 3 years. And with him all the time. And they were there and listening to what he said and always listening and hearing. And Jesus here in the 31st verse, he says, then he took unto him the 12, and he said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, and neither knew they the things which were spoken. And I want you to think about that in our day of all that we've heard. We've heard it spoken. We can tell people. And if you'd ask the disciples that afternoon what Jesus had told them that morning, I'm sure they could repeat the very words that he spoke back to you and told you what he said. But then we realize all that was accomplished and all that took place. And it happened just like he said. He was taken by the Gentiles and beaten and mocked and scoffed. And all things were done, and he died until every drop of blood was drained from his body on that cross. And how the sorrow they felt in the morning as they watched, not just, they were seeing a friend, a good person who they believed to be the Messiah, a man they knew God was using. They could see that he was a prophet, a great teacher. They saw all these things, and they beheld him as a friend, and they walked with him, and they talked with him, they slept with him, they ate with him, all these things, that's how they saw him. And then there he hung on a cross, being beaten and tortured and just so much. And then after that, and this is in Luke, the 24th chapter. Let's catch this now as the two are on the road from Emmaus. And think about this. And it says, behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which were to come to pass there in these days, which are come to pass there in these days? And he saith unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God on all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all of this, today is the third day since these things were happened. And yea, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, And when they found not his body, they came saying what they had seen is a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. He told them it was going to happen. He spoke to them before it had come to pass. And then after this begins to happen on the third day, reality is setting in. The grave is empty. But without revelation, without it truly being revealed to them, there they are still in just utter wonderment and amazement of these things that are happening around them. But had they had a revelation at this point, their heart, as we get later down, their hearts would have already been burning within them to realize the grave is empty. He is risen. But their eyes were holding. They didn't have an understanding of the things that he had spoken, what was happening and coming to pass. And as we go on down here, he says, and certain of them which were with us, and then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scriptures and the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto a village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass that as he set at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And as we see these examples that was left us, and we're looking back now, a situation that has happened, and now we stand here today with the revelation of what was taking place. And it's easy for us to put ourselves in their place and say, why didn't they listen to what he said? Why couldn't they see this great event that was unfolding? He told them it was going to happen. He told them it was going to take place to him. He expressed all of this to them, and he was with them, and he how he told them he wouldn't drink of this cup no more till he drank it with them anew. And how he laid it out for them so perfectly. But their eyes were holding to it, and they didn't see it. And they missed it, even though they heard it, and they walked with him. And how today it is we gather in here every day. Every time the doors are open, we come and we gather. And every day we have this precious Bible in our hands. And every day we have this precious word on printed page that we can go back and read. But oftentimes, and we've rehearsed it to a point, we know it by heart. We can tell you exactly what the prophet said. We can tell you exactly what brother so-and-so said the prophet said about something. We learn these things, and we've got it intellectually, and we have learned so much, and we've got this all on the where we can go back and keep reading it and reading it. It becomes like a school text. And we begin to learn these things. And then many of us being younger, we've been raised up in this message. And we've come up underneath the teachings of the prophet and setting and having our pastors exhort to us and our parents train us up in the way we should go. And we learn to be Christians. We learn to be churchgoers. We learn to be people that come and fill a pew. We learn to have good morals. We learn to have good respect. But Jesus Christ is looking for a people that doesn't live their own lives, but he's living through them. And that can only come by revelation and full understanding of God's precious word. And as I said to the last time I administered, we've been on this so long, and as our brother was using the example, as the gentleman with the flood, have we been around this so long it's become common to us? And you know, we go on through life, and as we see day-to-day activities take place, and as our human life goes on, some get old, some are born, some die, and it's just a constant life process that's been rolling. The prophet came with a great message, and God in a specific time was renewing the faith of the people and restoring the people back to prepare them for this last and final move of the God that he was going to do on a little bride before he come and took her off this earth. And while he was here, the people's hearts were stirred and they were on fire and they were so excited to see the great mighty moving of the Holy Spirit and the miracles that was taking place, and God was doing things and moving through the people. And all people gathered night upon night to be there to see what God was going to do next. With a great excitement in their heart, they gathered to see these things. And you know, that same God that walked in the book of Acts, the same Holy Ghost that came down in the original book of Acts at the original day of Pentecost, when Peter come down out of that upper room, staggering underneath the anointing, and preached a sermon to those people that drove them to their knees in conviction, and laid out the formula for them to repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we can look back and say, what an exciting day. I'd have loved to have been there. I'd have loved to have been able to stand there with Peter. I'd have loved to have been there in that upper room when the Holy Ghost descended. And we can look back now, and we can still look back in history and say, oh, I'd have loved to have been there in Brother Branham's meeting. I'd have loved to have seen God restore sight to the blind. I would have loved to have seen these great miracles take place. I'd have loved to have seen all this happen. But God is not a God of history. God is a God of today. And that same God is living today that lived from the book of Genesis all the way through Revelations. He's still here today. He's still in control. And he's still moving. But people forget who he is and where he's at. And we lose our vision. We become common. It's church going. We come into service. We're going to hear the word preached and we're going to go out. But the word was to be preached for a reason. Miracles don't just happen to make people excited. The gifts aren't given just to get people excited and to draw people's attention. It was for a time. And it done its work then, but it wasn't done away with. It's all the word is now coming to its fullness in a bride and a people's hearts and lives, to where it's individuals when a relationship with Jesus Christ that say what you will and ask what you will and it shall be done, with no condemnation in their hearts. And the formula has been laid out for us as our brother's been bringing it. And we see these things just laying in there line upon line and line upon line. But does it excite me? Is that excitement in my heart that's me? That's got to be me if it isn't. And that's what we get so excited. Oh, Brother Branham, he had his day. Amen. God moved mightily. He was sent for a purpose and he fulfilled his purpose here in his earthly journey. And God took him home. And many others have fulfilled their earthly journey and they've went home. But we're still sitting here. And can we look ourselves in the mirror each day and say, I know I'm fulfilling my journey here on this earth. Do I know that I've been called in sin here? And that what's burning in my heart was not just placed there to make me an exciting to want to go to church and just make me excited to be a good person and to talk about that I follow this message. I'm not Catholic. I'm not Methodist. I'm a message believer. But Jesus Christ has called individuals to finish a work that he set forth to do. And that's why we're here, to get ourselves pulled back. This message has been around so long. And you know, and it's just like it was when Brother Branham was sent. The Bible had been around so long. And everybody had a different version of what it meant. Everybody had a different version of what this scripture was talking about and what that scripture was talking about and how you should be baptized, or was there three gods or was there one God? It was all in turmoil. But God sent a prophet to bring all mysteries back together to one place and predestinated a special people to catch the vision of what he brought that would bring back the fullness of Jesus Christ into the people. That people would be a manifestation, a living representation, as Christ was in his day. We can look back and see Brother Branham was living representation of his day. And his day is gone as far as his work was to do then. And we see that it's finished for him. But that God sent that word here, and God made sure that it was put on printed page, because it was the very words of life that would give us understanding to bring us to that place that he expected us to reach. But do we look at it that way, or do we forget? Sometimes God give gifts to the church, the fivefold ministry, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the stature, the fullness of Christ. But sometimes it's easy for us to do the same thing that men did to the prophet. They walked with him. They talked with him. They slept with him. And they missed the message that he was bringing, a lot of them. They saw the great signs that he was doing. They saw who he was and what was happening. And oh, it excited their hearts. But they missed the words that was coming forth from him that would have done the work in their life that was needed to make them the living representation of Jesus Christ. And how we can sit here today and we can do the same thing as we hear God's precious word come, and it comes and it comes. And we sit here and we begin to get dull of hearing because, yeah, I know the prophet said that. I remember when he said it, and Brother so-and-so told me he said that, and then this also happened with that. We get this great knowledge running, but yet we forget that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom God said he would send, he would teach us all things and to guide us into all truths, whatsoever he has said unto us. And sometimes we get so trying to learn that we become book smart, and as we're taught to learn, that's how we learn. We read and we study things out and try to figure things out in the human nature. But God's a God that's recognized by revelation. And we must make sure that we are giving God his due place, and that we just don't get excited in thinking, well, I'm going to go hear our pastor today. He's going to preach a pretty good sermon, talk about what the prophet said. It'll be a nice service. But what is that service about? What's those words about? What's being rehearsed to us? And why is it being rehearsed? Do I forget that these men, when Jesus opened their eyes, when he taught them the scriptures, and then it began to open up to them all that he was saying, and he opened their eyes to see, oh, what a excitement began to get in their heart. Oh, whoa, my heart's been burning within us. And then it said they quickly rose and ran to tell the others. Then there was something burning in there. Oh, brother. But today we've lived around this word so long that sometimes it's just become common to us. Yeah, we know Brother Branham said that there's going to be a bride in this last day, and I believe I'm part of it. But it's the life. As our pastor's been trying to stress, the Holy Spirit's been stressing. And as Brother Branham stressed when he was here, and so many missed because of focusing on the gifts and the great mighty signs and wonders that was happening. That it's a life you can't live yourself. And it's a life, the very life of Jesus Christ represented through you, living daily out through you. That every word is becoming a living written epistle, read of all men. But sometimes we go through life and we, because of our past teachings and our learnings that we're human, we make our excuses. Well, I don't do that because of, I'm this and Brother so-and-so told me a long time ago that Brother Branham said that was going to happen. Or my past pastor or teacher might have said, well, you don't have to worry about that because you're going to do those kind of things. Don't worry about that. But God's cut word is in decisions laying before us. And oftentimes, that's what we forget. We don't have a thought coming about God's precious word. He said what he meant, and he don't need a no interpreter. He laid it out there for us. And he gave men to bring that word back to us. And yes, it comes, sometimes it seems like it's cutting. And sometimes it may seem like it's so hot. But if you get into the position we're supposed to be in, the word's no longer hot. It becomes a joyous, hallelujah, that's me. Amen. But as long as we keep wanting to make excuses for ourselves and keep, well, this is why I can't overcome that, and this is why I don't overcome this, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is laying there for each and every one of us. And he said what it would do when it happened and came into our lives, the works and that would result from it. Amen. But we make excuses that we, it's not quite like that. But if we would take God at his precious word and truly let it dip down in our hearts, we might find a different attitude towards what God is saying to us. Oh my, I ain't getting anywhere. Amen. Here in the message, the presence of the Lord Jesus, this was preached June 12th, 1955. I just liked how Brother Branham put that there. This here, and he says, there was two of them who was on the road to Emmaus. This was paragraph 66. He said, there was two of them on the road to Emmaus one morning, going over to Emmaus, and some of them went fishing, and oh, they were discouraged, going along, talking the road, saying, well, here we go back home again to take up our old task, and going over to Emmaus and Cleophas and his friends, as they walked along the road, and while they were communing, behold, Jesus stepped out of the bushes, and Brother Branham said, just an ordinary man. And I want you to think about that. God is just using ordinary men. He has an ordinary way of having, it might be our pastor here, it might be another pastor somewhere else, a teacher, an evangelist, somewhere. But God is just using ordinary men to speak to you and I. It's he doesn't have any hands, but yours and ours. As our pastor read that here not long ago, think about it. But how often it is we kind of have a tendency to lay off what's being brought to, well, that's for Brother so-and-so, that should be for Sister so-and-so. Not, and we fail to apply it to ourselves, because realizing the pastor is only bringing back God's precious word. And maybe that's for brother so-and-so, maybe it's for sister so-and-so, but I'm responsible to be sure that it's living in my life. 100%. I'm not exempt from one word that's in this scripture or this Bible. You aren't exempt. And how, as we hear it, we should each one be finding that place. But you know, we get into that place where it's where we can always look back and always. Brother Branham said it in the Greater Than Solomon is here, preached June 28, 1963, paragraph 157. He said, "I'll say this so that all the people will know." And just think about this for a minute. They didn't know Joan of Arc was a saint of God till they killed her. And the Catholic Church burnt Joan of Arc for a witch because she seen visions and prayed for the sick and brought the dead back to life. And the Catholic Church called her a witch and burnt that woman at the stake. And about 200 years later, they woke up and found out she was a saint. And of course, they done great penance and they dug up them priest's body and throwed them in the river. Nonsense. But watch out, it might happen among us that the thing might come and be clearly identified by God in the scripture and by science and everything else, and it would pass us and we wouldn't know, and we would not know it. And then stand the last day clearly identified. Man is still the same. Man is always praising God for what he done. And oh, what an excitement it gives us to look back and see what God's done. And to think about the mighty things that has happened, and oh, what an excitement that brings in our heart to be able to look back and see that, and oh, we can thank him for it. And praising God for what he is, and they're talking about what he will do, and oh, we're talking about that new millennium, and we're talking about all that new Jerusalem, and all these things where God has got him prepared for us. And we can maybe look down the line and think, oh, one of these days, when God gets ready, he's going to do all kinds of mighty signs and wonders through that little bride. Today's the day. But we miss it sometimes because we keep wanting to push it off. It's coming. It's coming. Brother Branham said in 1963, it's on the road now. Here we sit today. We should be part of this. And not looking for it to come. It's here. And it should be more than ever in our hearts and in our lives as the word is coming to show us. That life of Jesus Christ should be on display every day. And if we didn't have no condemnation, what would be happening in our lives? What healings would be taking place? For the same faith without the vision will do the same works. What about all this precious word that's dumped and we've had and we've had and we've had? Are we going to keep saying it's coming, it's coming, it's coming? Or am I crying out to God now for the revelation that it will be vindicated? Because I may only get to live 2 more weeks. And I want it proven that my life bore testimony that I was a witness of Jesus Christ and the works that he said that little bride would do the last few moments I've got. What about you? That's the excitement that ought to be in our heart. Is, Lord, I want to be one of them. I want to be ready today, not tomorrow, not looking for it next week. I know it's coming. No, it's here. The precious word's laying here, and the revelation identified in our hearts and lives will produce the same works that it did through that Bible. But are we concerned about it, or do we just get in that old rut? I'm going to church. I believe the prophet. I believe he's coming back. It's going to happen. We know the Lord's coming. When? What if do we live like it's going to be tomorrow? You know, think about that. He told them disciples a short time before it happened to him that he was going to raise again the third day. He told them all that was going to take place to him. And they missed it because their eyes were holding. And think of all of this precious word that's laying here. Is my eyes open to everything? Or is some of it holding to me and I don't have a revelation because I feel like I understood, I was able to read it and I know what he said, so that's good enough. No, that's not good enough. It's got to be a living vindication in our hearts and in our lives. We've got to see the reality of what this word was to do. And you know, I think of that little Welshman, that had the little revival that Brother Branham mentioned. How that should be each one of us. Does that joy just overflow from me from what God has done for me on the inside, where I see he's taking me to? And as I speak these things and I'm asking the question, I'm not putting it out there like you're guilty. I'm just saying this is where we've got to be. Each one of us, everybody that's going to be part of this, our attitude has got to be, Lord, I'm ready today. I'm there. But does my actions show that that's the desire of my heart? That I want to be ready, and I'm interested, Lord, in this being foremost in my life, Or do I still need to go buy a farm? Or I still need to go buy a boat? I still need to go get a tractor? I still need to go get all these things that life has to offer to us? I've got my 5-year plan rolled out there, Lord. I'm a little more focused on making sure I got that ready than this being ready. When tomorrow's not guaranteed to any of us. But what's our approach to life? Why do we come to service? Why am I serving the Lord? Where's my joy? Where's my love? What is burning and what's pushing and motivating me to do what I'm doing? Amen. Is this really my first love? Is this really burning down in my heart? Am I really focused to God's precious word? Does it cause tears to roll down my cheeks? Does it cause my heart to burn within me when I hear what God is doing through a little bride? When I realize why the baptism of the Holy Ghost was given and why there's been a change in me and why I can see all these things. But if I can't see it in reality and see that I'm part of it, there's not a whole lot of excitement to it. And it just becomes, I wished he would hurry up and get done so we can go home. I wished he wouldn't preach more than 30 minutes because I just can't hardly sit here. It's too hot and stuffy. The air conditioner's not cold enough. The furnace is too hot. There's always something that goes on in our minds when we're not focused to God's precious word. And you know how it shows oftentimes that our attention, where our focus is, because we always notice everything else that went on, but half the time we forget what the pastor said. And we see that, and we've each one got to take accountability for ourselves and look at ourselves. We're weighing ourselves in God's precious word. And I'm just asking a question to you, to me. Each one of us, are we where we are? Do we see a zeal in our hearts? Are we on fire for God? Is it white hot burning that I love? That it doesn't matter what's taking place around me, how many life situations there is. I've got one focus and one thing only in my heart, and that's to see Jesus Christ magnified and glorified through my life, and that he has the full preeminence in living. Amen. Let's see here. I messed my notes up. Let me see what I have here. Amen. But we need to focus in to what we're doing today. And Brother Branham, in the message, When Their Eyes Were Open, They Knew Him, preached February the 12th, 1964, paragraph 13, as he was beginning his message, he said, "Wouldn't you like to have took a trip with Cleopas and them on the road to Emmaus? I'd have liked to have walked with them. It's possible. I'm glad to be living today that I can still do the same thing. Walk with him today just the same as they did then." The thought of it was how that Jesus had raised from the dead, but the sad part of it was some of them who loved him didn't know it. And that's certainly a picture of today. There is many people who love him, who doesn't yet realize that he is alive. It's some kind of a history that they learned in some school. It's some book of theology, some ethics, code of ethics that they studied somewhere. Jesus is a historical figure to them, and yet in the history they love him, but they don't realize that he is alive with us, walking right around with us. Just as he always did, he is here the same as he ever was. And oh my, if some of us could just really truly grasp that he's here the same. He's not different. The power's not less. It's not a different Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost that hung in that picture when he was here ministering is the same Holy Ghost that's here today, talking to your heart and talking to my heart as we sit here. As I sit here and listen to our pastor bring the word, and I sit back there and I feel the precious Holy Ghost and the anointing, and I feel that stillness and that calmness in my heart, and you're searching and you're looking and meditating on what's being said as it's dwelling on you. Lord, where do I measure up with this precious word today? That's the same Holy Ghost that on that day of the original book of Acts, when Peter come down out of that upper room and those men were pricked in their hearts at his sayings, and then, men, what must we do? That was the same Holy Ghost that was there then, is here today with us, in the same power to do the same works if we'll just yield ourselves to him and let him have his full sway in our hearts and in our lives. We can see the same things done. We can see God manifested in greater measure. We can see these things happen. It may not be focused to one person. Oh, that brother's got a gift of healing. No. But what can God do for you based upon your faith in his precious word and what he said? And knowing that, oh, if my heart condemns me not, I can ask what I will, and it shall be done. Does these things excite me that, Lord, I want to hit that place? Many of us may have problems in our hearts and in our lives that we need God to move on. But if we would just get in tune with God first. You know, think of the little lady that Elijah, when he stopped by, and she said, "I've only got enough meal left for 2 cakes. and we're going to eat that and die. But he said, no, you go make me one first. But she followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit at that time, and it brought forth the promise of what God said would be. And if we'll just put God first in our lives, everything else will follow in. We'll have what we have need of, and it'll take its place. But if we would just get in control and let God mellow us out and truly take our leadership. We've all been in church a long time. We've all been going to churches for years. But we've got to see this word becoming real and made alive in our hearts. Not just go keep going and going, and another 20 years we're still here just exhorting on the same word. It's got to be bringing a maturity. That's what it was sent for. And how we should see that in our hearts and our lives. And if we're not seeing any change, if we're just, you know, kind of just going on, then something's wrong with my experience. Maybe my eyes are holding and I really don't see what God has placed here for us. You sisters can come to the instruments. But oh my, am I crying out to God. I'm reaching out to you, Lord. And I know your arm's not too short to reach back out to me. But I wonder if he sees us truly reaching out to him. Or if we come to church on Sunday and we say, boy, that was a good message. And that's where it dies for us. And we forget and we go on about our humanly lives. And they'll go through life and gathering and gaining and taking care of this, that, and the other. But oh my, you know, I read a little something and probably had heard it. And many of you, I'm sure, have heard it, the older ones. But it just caught my attention that when Brother Brandon was in the pulpit the day they came to him to tell him his mother was dying, he was preaching. And they come to him on the platform and told him, you better call your mother. She's dying right now. And Brother Branham's words was, he said, death holds still. The God's word's more important than that. And she didn't die till he got there. I want you to think about that. Where his love was, that was his mother, and she was very dear to him. And you can get that as you read through that. But nevertheless, God meant more to him at that moment in time than that did. And where's that leave us? When we can let the littlest excuses detour us from keeping and maybe doing exactly what God wants us to do. It's food for thought, to think about and to meditate on and ask the Lord, say, Lord, is it burning in my heart like it should be? Am I on fire? Do I have a zeal for you, Lord? Is it truly there? Yes, it's exciting to talk about these things. And that's, as I said, as we look back and we can see, to know that we were part of God and to see these great messages that Brother Brandon brought that shows us these things. But we've got to be identified that we were there. And that's what this word is doing. It's showing us that maturity. It's good to talk about. It's wonderful to see. But if I can't identify with it, then it did me no good. It's not for me. But when this word comes and I see that by the measuring stick of God's word, I'm lining right up, then all of those promises are for me and I'm setting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a joy it ought to bring. And if the word is coming that makes me search and it makes me look and to really study my life and my actions as Lord, where am I at on this great ladder? Oh, how thankful I ought to be if the Holy Spirit's there searching my heart. Lord, what more can I do? What can I surrender more, Lord, to be exactly what you would have me be? Amen. I pray somehow that this few nuggets and the way that my simple way of bringing things will stir our hearts a little bit. As we sat here, even as we sing, let's all stand if you would. As we often come in and we sing these songs and we praise and worship the Lord, how it truly should come from the depths of our hearts and go back to him. I may not be much of a singer, but oh my, how I love ought to go back to him and showing that I realize what he's done for me and I realize I'm thinking about me and each one of these things. But oh my, I know one thing. He's getting a people ready for that final work. And it's a work that they must do now. It's got to be complete in their life. And he's going to come back and take that little bride home. But Enoch, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And oh, by God's grace, what the word that we've been given and the standard we've been given, the measuring stick's there. There's no reason that a little bride of Jesus Christ in this day can't have the exact same testimony that she knows, I please God. And oh, may that be our greatest desire. Is Lord, I want that. As our pastor was bringing, at that day ye shall know this is the day. And we've got to see it. And it's got to be not just me see it. It's got to be expressed and vindicated for all to see. And oh, may that burn in our hearts. Amen. Hallelujah. I just thank him for his mercy and his grace. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus again. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord, as we ask our pastor to come. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. As I pray and press my way into your kingdom, I know the thing I feel. Reaching out to you.
Amen. Trust that's what we're all doing. Reaching out to him. Amen. Every day, every moment of our life. You know, I was thinking about, you know, even this morning, I was just in my room meditating. And I, for some reason, I'm just thinking about prayer. You know, I thought, do we really pray like we should be now? You know, everybody kind of maybe thinks that all prayer is just a thing, you know, why pray and this and another. But if you have a real love in your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, how would you keep from talking to him and loving him and tell him how much you love him and appreciate him and want him to be glorified through you and have the preeminence of your life, just constantly talking to him. I don't care what you're doing, you know. And I was thinking about that. I thought, Lord, help us to be real prayer warriors, Lord. Help us to be a people that really want to talk to you and talk to you with a revelation, knowing that you're there listening to us. And knowing that whatsoever we ask for, you shall give it to us if our heart condemns not. Oh, what a blessed, wonderful opportunity to be able to pray and know that he hears you. Knowing everything's under the blood, a great bumper of blood's laying there for you. Oh, I am so thankful for that. Amen. Because I know many a times he's answered my prayer, and there's more prayer being answered. And I'm so thankful for him. I appreciate him. Appreciate the word this morning. May we just, you know, apply it to our hearts, open our hearts, and say, Lord, you're mine. Make me more what you want me to be for you, Lord. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, we truly are so thankful that you gave us this opportunity to be here today and together, as our brother said in the opening prayer, Lord, together with saints of like precious faith, Lord, and Father, how it stirs in our heart the hour and time which we live. And maybe some don't understand throughout the world, Lord. And maybe some that's claiming to be Christians, they don't quite understand of why we would want to push and press, Lord, and strive, Lord, with all that's in us. And Lord, want to worship you and talk to you and do all these things. But Lord, I was thinking this morning, again, as we read in the message pardon, as Brother Branham was speaking about that bubbling spring when he was a game warden, and he was kind of saying and mentioning a few little things, and why are you bubbling like you are? Is it because the rabbits drink from you, or the deer, or because I came along and drank from you? He kept saying, no, there's something behind me, pushing me. And Lord, that's what's taking place now in the hour, in the last few moments which we live. Is there something on the inside pushing us and pressing us, Lord? And we're so thankful for that holy desire that you've given to your people this day. We pray now that you'll go with us, guide us, protect us, keep us safe again upon the highways, we ask, Lord. Again, that thy will be fulfilled in our hearts and our lives, that we may glorify you. In your precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you love him? Amen. Then you'll love his word. Amen. You'll just love to hear it, receive it, read it, study it, everything about it. And your desire is to see it manifest to your life completely. Amen. May God richly bless you now. You're all dismissed. May God be with you.